the second reading of Parshas Vayeshev, Jewish history begins to unfold very quickly. Father Jacob moves into his homeland, and he's now complete bereft of his wife Rachel, unfortunately, but all 12 tribes are born, as well as Dinah, and a new trouble happens. Yaakov just wants to rest. He wants a little bit of peace and solitude, security and safety and happiness. But none of that happens because in the aftermath of the story of Shechem, Yosef and his brothers begin to quarrel. And the first reading of Parshas Vayeshev talks all about the challenges that happen in Yaakov's family, Yosef's dreams of monarchy and grandeur, the brothers' jealousy, and Yaakov, well, kind of biding his time and actually anticipating the fulfillment of those dreamlike visions. In the second reading of Parshas Vayeshev, which is chapter 37, verse 12 onward, the scene opens with Yosef's brothers going off on their own, and it's a business venture. His brothers go forward, and they're going to pasture the sheep in a city called Shechem, which is actually quite shocking because Shechem was a place where they massacred the people, and Shechem was a place where they might have been afraid to go, but that's where they went. And we'll take a look and see how that plays a role in everything that's going to unfold. Lirais es tzoin, Rashi points out that the words es, the, tzoin, are nokud ales, so there's little dots on them. And according to the etiquette of the writing of antiquity, there are no parentheses, there are no italics, but whenever you have a word with dots on it, it means that you have to de-emphasize that word. And so it says es tzoin, they went to pasture the sheep, but really, shaleholcho, we can know from this that they did not go aliris es atzmam, to so to speak, pasture themselves and take care of themselves. They wanted a little vacation, so they blamed it on the business. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, Yisrael says to Yosef, alei achecha reyem b'shchem, your brothers are pasturing in Shechem. Locha ve'eshlachacha aleihem, go, I'm going to send you towards them to see and find out how they are. Now Yosef knows his brothers intensely dislike him. He knows this could be a dangerous mission. However, without batting an eyelash, Vayomer loy, Yosef uses the same verbiage that we see with Avraham Avinu, with Yitzchak, and with Yankiv when they have challenging and difficult missions. He says, Hineni. Here I am. Hineni, Rashi says, Lashen Anova Vizizos. This is a language that bespeaks a sense of humility, a sense of alacrity. Nizdareis l'mitzvah saviv. He immediately rose to the occasion to fulfill his father's instructions. Hafapisha yedea. Even though he knew, be'echav, with regard to his brothers, he knew very well that they hated him. Nonetheless, he thought, if father said, then this is what must be done. And so he sets forth, vayomer loy. Yaakov Avinu now clarifies and explains what he's expecting. He says, Lechna re'ei es shloim achecha. Go and see how your brothers are doing. V'shloim atzayin, see how the sheep are. Literally the peace of. V'hashiveni davar, bring me back a report. V'yishlocheihu me'emek chevron, he sends him forth from the depths of chevron. V'yovei shechema, Yosef arrives in the city of Shechem. All right, let's start with Rashi, and then we'll take a look in some of the other mafarshim about these psukim. Me'emek chevron. Yosef was sent forth from the depths of Chevron. But typographically speaking, that's incorrect. Rashi says, V'haloi Chevron Bahar. Chevron is mountainous. It's in the hills. And we know that the Hebron hills is not the Hebron valley. We know this because later on, the Torah will tell us, Rashi himself was never in Israel, and I don't know if he ever saw an accurate map, but he knew the Torah backwards and forwards. And the Torah says, V'yalu V'negev, they came up from the south, and the point was they were going up. They were on an incline. Vayavayat Chevron. They came to Chevron. So clearly Chevron is in the hills, not in the valley. Elo, so what happened over here? Why does it say Me'emek Chevron? So our sages expound on this and say that the Torah is communicating to you that the following story is Me'etza Amuka Shalei Tzadik. This is coming from the very deep ideas or deep strategy, deep vision of that Tzadik. that who is this tzaddik? The tzaddik are covered by Chevron, the tzaddik is buried in Chevron. At this time, Yitzchak is alive. The tzaddik buried in Chevron is Avraham Avinu. And this is l'kayim. This is in order to fulfill, in other words, what does it mean, etza? The advice, Avraham is giving advice from the grave. It means l'kayim, to fulfill mashanemar l'Avraham, what was told to Avraham in the bris in Absarim, that it says there, ki ger yezaracha, that your progeny will be strangers. So here there's this promise. The progeny has to be strangers. That means they have to be displaced from the land of Israel. How would it ever happen? Who would want to leave Israel? Why would Yaakov go away? So there's an etza amuka. There's something much deeper beneath what meets the eye. Something else going on here. Vayavi Shechem, and he comes to Shechem. He could have just said Vayavi Sham. Rashi says it emphasizes the name of the city Shechem for the third time. And this is because Mokeh Muchon LePoranius. This is a place that seems ripe for trouble. Sham Kilkul HaShvatim. It is here that the Shvatim make the terrible mistake of selling Yosef. Sham Ino is Dina. It's here that Dina was ravished and raped. Sham Nischal Nechlaka Malchus Beis David. Much, much later on in Jewish history, this is where the house of David HaMelech divided. Shanemar, as it says, Vayelech Rechavam Shechema. Rechavam came to Shechem, and in Shechem, all the Jewish people came to anoint and appoint Rechavam. Rechavam is, of course, from the seed of David HaMelech. And when he came to be anointed in the city of Shechem, this is when most of the tribes rebelled against Malchus David. And they rallied around a new king, and they abandoned David HaMelech, and they abandoned the Davidic dynasty. And the Davidic dynasty remained with only two loyal tribes, the tribe of Yehuda and the tribe of Binyamin. The rest of the tribes went to a man whose name was Yerovam ben Nevat, who was not from the progeny of David HaMelech. Okay, so let's do a little bit of background over here. So we have Rashi clear. When we talk about, first of all, Vayelcho Echav, the brothers went, and they went to Shechem. The Torah says clearly, why did they go to Shechem? It was the only place you could find pasture. So the Radak says the brothers were very, very sure of themselves. And they wanted to demonstrate they're not afraid of anybody. Say, yeah, we massacred Shechem. But we'll go back with our sheep. That's what we're ready to do. Which is not necessarily a smart thing to do. So last time we ran away, they were smarting, it bothered them. We ran away. We're not afraid of anybody. We're going to go with our sheep into Shechem, into the lion's den. And this explains to us, of course, why Yaakov is so worried about them. Now, the reason that Yosef didn't go with his brothers to begin with, the Radak says, is because his father, who was anticipating the fulfillment of the dream, was very nervous about Yosef being harmed. And he felt that there was a jealousy amongst the brothers. And he felt if they're going to a dangerous place, the last thing we need is that they shouldn't have each other's back. And that one brother should be in a state of, just disrepair relationship-wise. So that wouldn't be a good thing. Now, Yosef was, of course, in this kind of state. So why did Yaakov send him? If he was afraid to send him to begin with, why did he send him now and say, so go see how your brothers are doing? So the Radak says that this is because Yaakov believed that after a separation, and they hadn't been seen for a while, and they were in a dangerous place, and then Yosef would show up, there'd be familiarity, and he'd say, Yosef is here. And in this way, on the contrary, not only this would not increase the dispute amongst them, the divisiveness, this would increase their love together. They would now feel a sense of kindred, a sense of unison. And that's why Yaakov sent him. That's why, according to the Radak. Now, it says the word, Yosef says the word Hineni. And of course, you may ask the question, why was Yosef not afraid? So the Zohar says, Yosef was certain that because his brothers respected their father, they would never do anything bad. He was certain. He said, even Esav wouldn't do anything in front of his father, or his father would know. They will never hurt me. And Yaakov felt like this. Yaakov felt, look, right now, they're certainly in danger. They're certainly in danger because there's people of Shechem are there, and their relatives of Shechem. And who knows what will happen? Whether something will happen to Yosef, this is a suffix, it's a question. So therefore, the Baalei HaTosfos say, in the name of the Ibn Ezra, we have suffix, ain suffix, meitzi midei vaday. We don't have, a doubt does not override a certainty. Yaakov felt it was certainly in danger, they had to be rescued, they had to be brought home, whether Yosef would be harmed is a doubt, And that's how, that was the shekel, that was the, so to speak, the calculation that he made. And so he sends him off on this distant mission, and Yosef sets forward. And here, you can put in the dramatic music. Yosef now gets there. He comes to Shechem. Vayimsa'ehu ish, a man finds him. Vehinei Sarya basada, he's wandering around the field. Vayishalehu ha'ish, the man says, lemer, saying, quote, matavakesh, what are you looking for? Why are you looking around like this? You're walking around, you seem aimless. Vayimer, and Yosef answers, as achaya nechim avakesh, I seek my brothers. Hagidin ali, do you know? Tell me, please. Eifai heim royim, where are they pasturing the sheep? The man says back to Yosef, Nasu Mizeh, they have traveled far away from this. Literally gone away from here. But proverbially, they've gone away. You said you're looking for your brothers. They have left that brotherhood behind. They no longer feel that sense of kindred connection with you. I heard that they said we were going to a place called Dotan. And so the Torah records, Vayelech Yosef, Achar Echav, Yosef goes after his brothers who have now left Shechem, who are no longer in danger. So really, he should have just turned around, but he doesn't. He says, I got a mission. My father sent me. I have to go, and I'm going to find my brothers and then report home. A man found him. Rashi says, Ish? Who's the man? Who is this mystery person? So Rashi says, Ze Gavriel. This is the archangel Gabriel. And how do we know that Ish is Gavriel? Shanemar, because the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel, it says, Veho Ish Gavriel. And the Ish Gavriel, so since it says the Ish Gavriel, the man Gavriel, over there, and it uses the word Va'ish. And here it says, Vimseyo Ish. So we can draw a juxtaposition to the scripture in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, and what it says here in the book of Genesis, that it must be speaking about Gavriel. But I have to tell you, my friends, this is not like in the Gemara. It's not what we call Gzeira Shava. This is the opinion of Rashi, according to some of the Midrashim. The Tesvis, the Balei HaTesvis, and the Hadar Zakenim say no. This was not Malach Gavriel. This was Malach Rafael. And where did they get that from? It says Ve'ish. So they say, well, if you do the word Rafael, Resh Fei Aleph Lamed, and you do the Gematria of the word Ish, you end up with the same gematria. So Ish is 311. And Raphael turns out to be 311 as well. And in that case, since we got 311 in both situations, so therefore it must be Raphael. Ibn Ezra says, I do not understand this conversation. Whatever. But Yimtzei Ish was a man. What's the difference who the man was? He found the man. Okay, this man, that man, he found the man. And the man said, what are you looking for? So what is Basada? Ramban says, Sada is the place of pasture. That's where he went to look for them. And then Radak says, this is the field that Yaakov bought. It says, Vayikin is Chalkas HaSada. So they don't want to take something that doesn't belong to them. That's why they went to Shechem. They said, this is our property. We got to go check out our real estate. He paid Meir Ksita. He paid top dollar for that. And that's why they went there. And Sepharno says he was just all over. Maybe he started there and he went elsewhere. It was clear that this was a man lost and he was looking for something specific. And nobody knew people look at him and say, what is this guy looking for? And that's when the man comes over and he says, what are you looking for? And he says, my brothers. And he says, oh, no, so he's a... So let's talk about this mystery person who we have at least three opinions for already. If he's Gavriel, if he's a foe, if he's just a dude. In the Beyurim book, in page Kuf Behe, the Mefarshim asked the question on Rashi, the Sif Chachamim, the Maral of Prague. And the question they ask is, Madua Moitzi Rashi as a kosov mipshutei? Why does Rashi seem to take the verse out of its literal meaning and instead give us an identification for this person? The Torah doesn't identify the person. So if the Torah doesn't identify the person, why does Rashi have to identify the person? Yim say a wish. It would seem the Ibn Ezra is absolutely correct. And Rashi is being mechadish. Rashi is saying a tremendous novelty here. He's giving him a name. It's Gavriel. Why? So this is the Rebbe's answer. Mashmoas haloshon vayimtzaehu, the language vayimtzaehu, he found him, And not Vayivgashehu, for example, not he encountered him or bumped into him. But the notion that it's Vayivgashehu, so this is, in and of itself, it's telling us, Shehoishle nitkal b'Yosef b'mikra. This wasn't a person who bumped into Yosef. Oh, he happened to bump into him. Oh, you look a little confused. What are you looking for? No. Elechipes es Yosef. When you find something, you must have been looking for it. You didn't stumble upon him. He found him. If he found him, he was looking for him. So if he was looking for him, the question then is, who would look for Yosef? Why would a man look for Yosef? A man from the field wouldn't look for Yosef. And this is typical. Ibn Ezra will always follow the literal words. It says ish is ish. But Rashi will always look at things contextually. And contextually speaking, although the word ish could be anybody, the fact that it says the word vayimtza ehu seems to suggest that it's not anybody. Now, the it's interesting, the Emek Davar says something similar. He suggests the Pasuk should have said vayimtza ish, instead of vayimtza ehu. Vayimtza means he found the person. But the Rebbe takes it further. The Rebbe says the whole word is out of sorts. It's not about the im vayimtza ehu, he found him. The whole word would not belong there. And therefore, that compels Rashi even more than just the ehu, just the last three, the extra two letters or syllables. The whole word necessitates this commentary because he was clearly looking for him. But l'chein mefarash Rashi, therefore Rashi says, this was the archangel Gabriel, who was sent by virtue of God. And the reason he was sent was Lintzei es Yosef, to find Yosef, and talk to him about his brothers. Now, of course, I would ask at this point, so then why shouldn't we follow the Tesfis, the Hadar Zakenim? It says he was Rafal. I mean, the man is supposed to save Yosef. Rafal does that. Rafal is the savior. He's the saving, the healing and the saving angel. Why Gavriel? Gavriel is the judgmental angel, the angel of discipline. So the Rebbe now explains, and why is it that this shlichut, that this mission was specifically placed on the shoulders of the angel Gabriel, Malach Gavriel. Mataros ha-shlichus, the point of this shlichus was not, as we typically think, to save Yosef, but rather, k'dei livchein ulenaseis es Yosef. This was a test. Will Yosef pass it? Will he continue to go on his way to fulfill the mission of his father, namely to seek out the peace of his brothers, even after he finds out, like Rashi says, you're looking for your brothers, but they've left that brotherhood behind. They're not looking for you anymore. Like that's what Eliezer Gavriel says to him. He see you atzam in achva. They have removed themselves from any kind of kindred feeling. And they're looking to Gwent, to Dotan, a Medrash and Rashi quotes us, Levakesh Nichle Dosais. They're trying to use legal pretext to be able to do you in. They're actually creating a legal narrative which will allow them to do what they're doing. And Yosef hears these words. And he should have said, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm going to put myself in danger. That's a little too scary for me. And that's what Gavriel was there for. And Gavriel did a test. Because Gavriel represents Midas HaGvura. Gavriel represents the attribute of discipline and severity, judgment. And he was the perfect one for this mission. The one who was going to be placing kshiim, difficulties, b'darka shel Yosef, as he seeks l'male to fulfill as shlichas aviv. And ultimately, Yosef remains undeterred. And he does exactly what his father said. And you might say, this is what his father said, and look what kind of terrible things happen. Well, look again, how terrible were they? In the end, Yosef will become viceroy over Egypt, he will be the savior of the Jewish people, and he will be the one to plant the seeds of the future birth of Am Yisrael, because through Golus Mitzrayim comes Geulah Mitzrayim, and the nation of Israel flourishes, flowers, and comes into its own being. And that, my dear friends, is the story of the mystery man.